I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
The following episode of Greenhorn Radio was recorded on July 28th, 2010. Enjoy.
Good afternoon, Greenhorns. This is Severin. I'm your host for this yet another episode of Greenhorn Radio, radio for young farmers by young farmers, discussing the perplexities and joys of life in the young farming universe. Our show is brought to you on Heritage Radio Network and sponsored by Hearst Family Ranch. Today I'm joined on the telephone by Molly Rockman. Are you there, Molly?
I am here. Hi.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Nice to hear your voice. And remember seeing you in person last year at Farm Aid in Missouri.
Yes, that's
right. How's the
weather
out there?
That was a great event.
That was a great event. It's still a mystery where Farm Aid will be this year, but I hope soon to learn because I really want to go.
Me too. I'm planning on it as well.
So, Molly, you're in Missouri, and what's the weather like right now?
It's really hot. We are having 105 heat index today, and it's sunny where we are. And we had storms last night, but no rain today yet.
So you guys are getting a lot of summer rain, or what? Tell those people who are not accustomed to the Midwestern weather situation, tell us a little bit what you guys have in terms of a summer.
Yes, we do get a lot of storms, a lot of rain in the summertime, but we also get intense heat and humidity. And that's definitely a challenge, not only for working on the farm, but for our plants, especially on our farm in particular, because we do not have an irrigation system. So we are very dependent on the rain, and we're happy for the rains, but then we also, we could do with a little less heat.
So tell me about the farm and how you got there and what you grow.
Sure. So Earth Dance Farms at the historic Mueller Farm, which is in Ferguson, Missouri. It's in North St. Louis County. And we grow over 100 varieties of vegetables and flowers and herbs and a few fruits, but no tree fruits. The particular farm that we're at is very, very interesting because it's actually, it's non-certified organic, but it is the oldest organic farm in the state of Missouri, and some people even say west of the Mississippi. The farm was settled in 1883, and that's before the municipality that it's in was even founded. I live about a mile and a half from the farm. I don't own it personally. Earth Dance, which is a nonprofit organization that I run, is a tenant on the farm. So I know you, Severin, at Smithereen have dealt with land security issues, and we are in the same boat.
So you have also had some land drama recently.
Well, we're minimizing the drama, thankfully, but we're hoping to mitigate any potential drama by setting something up with the family that owns the farm to allow us to have a longer lease on it. It hasn't, thankfully, been too dramatic yet, but it's just been very challenging that we only have a single-year lease because that means we're not able to do things put long-term investments on the farm, like we want to, like, put an irrigation system in, plant fruit trees, even planting garlic. It's a gamble because we don't know if we'll be there the next season.
Man, so year-to-year lease, and that's been going on for how long, and what are you aiming to move towards?
Well, Earth Ants was founded in 2008, and last season was actually just our first growing season. Last year and this year are the years that we've been dealing with a single-year lease. And what we're hoping to do, ideally, Earth Ants would purchase the farm from the family. The farm is now owned by a woman who's 90 years old, and her husband was the third generation to live and work on the farm from his family. And they did not have any children, and that will leave the farm in the hands of the woman who owns its siblings, who will want to sell it for the highest amount they can get. So we're trying to work something out now where we could essentially raise the funds to buy the land and keep farming it, or we may even be talking to some of the family members about purchasing the development rights from the farm, so they would still own it, but that would mean it could never be developed, and we would also have an arrangement where we could farm it indefinitely.
So on top of all the heat and all the stresses of farming and all the headache of running a nonprofit, you have also to deal with these kinds of big moving parts and trying to keep tenure for your land, which I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I feel like, for a lot of, for any business, it seems, any for-profit business, money tends to be the bottom line. And what we're moving towards, it seems, across businesses and nonprofit organizations is trying to make sustainability the bottom line. Well, I believe that to farmers, that means that land is the bottom line. I mean, soil is literally the bottom. And so if we don't have land security, we don't really have anything. So right now, being a nonprofit, as you say, I'm thinking about next year in terms of, how many apprentices are we going to train? How many staff are we going to be able to afford to pay to do the training? What other things do we want to add into the mix? But then at the end of the day, it boils down to, well, where are we going to be next year? Are we going to be farming here, or are we going to have to find a different piece of land?
Okay, now, one thing that we have in our favor is that you're really close to a big city, and there are mm-hmm. people there who I know, and I met many of them, care passionately about your food. Tell us a little bit of how you're marketing and what kind of relationships you have to support you as you move into this transition.
Well, we do have a very vibrant local food scene in St. Louis. Actually, just last Saturday, I went to this great event called The Art of Food that's put on by Slow Food St. Louis, and they essentially put on this fundraiser every year, bringing amazing local chefs and local artists' artwork together to raise funds specifically to give it out back to farmers in the form of biodiversity grants. So, that was a small amount of our funds this year came from actually Slow Food St. Louis, $500, towards our seed purchase. We also have built relationships with our local city government. The City Council of Ferguson knows the value of the uniqueness of that land and that it's been the oldest organic farm in Missouri. And so many community members have memories of working on the farm as a teenager and going up to the farm to buy produce from the family that farmed it. So, that's a piece of history that we can't take credit for at all, but we're just very blessed to have that, lineage to be farming from. Other ways of marketing ourselves, we're literally marketing our produce at two farmers markets a week. That gives us a very good presence in the community. We do a Wednesday afternoon farmers market at a local microbrewery called Schlafly, and that's actually in a few hours. I'm headed there. That's a really fun one. It's a very local foodie scene, very social and casual, and people, the farmers get to drink and have a beer while they're selling their produce. And then the Saturday morning market we sell at has a completely different vibe, but it's extremely community-focused. There's, 70-year-old men helping put up the 10-by-10 pop-up tents. And there's little red wagons that they'll let you use as shopping carts, essentially, to carry your produce around the market. And there's picnic tables, and there's omelets for sale, and live music, and crafters. And I can't say enough good things about the Ferguson Farmers Market. And the coolest part is that the market's only a mile and a half from our farm, so it's about as close as you can get to market.
Man, I like omelets at farmers market. When you have that hauling and hauling and hauling, and then you have to just wait for people to come, and it's still cold. Or I guess it's not cold where you are. But I don't like being cold in the morning. And
no, it hasn't been cold at a farmers market, I don't think, this season yet, though, so it's hard to imagine. But definitely at the end of October, we start wearing layers.
Now tell me, what is this Farmers Rock situation here?
Sure. So this Saturday, July 31st, we are having our first annual, hopefully annual, Farms Rock concert, benefit concert for Earth Dance. So the mission of Earth Dance is to grow and inspire local farms, food, art, relationships, and music sustainably. So our whole idea is we want to celebrate the culture and agriculture, not just training more people to how to be organic farmers. We want to bring the arts and the music onto the farmscape as much as possible. And so we unfortunately aren't going to host a concert on the farm yet. We're not quite set up to do that. But in the meantime, we're going to be at Blueberry Hill, which is a great venue in the Del Mar Loop in St. Louis. We'll have 7 different local bands playing all night, Saturday night. And all the funds raised go to Earth Dance and our programs.
So it's like your own little mini Farm Aid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really exciting. And are you coming from an entertainment background, or what got you thinking that there needed to be more music on the farm?
Say that. What got us into what?
Well, how did you get the idea that we needed more music and electric?
Okay. So I was, into drama and acting in high school and college, and so I've always loved the performing arts. And my family is very into the musical arts. And so I just grew up thinking that every family reunion had a talent show with full dress rehearsals, and didn't know anything different until my friends started talking about theirs one time, and I said, well, what'd you do for your talent show? And so that's just been born into me, bred into me from a young age. And whenever I dreamt up what I would want to do with my life, my background is actually environmental studies, or I should say my degree is environmental studies. And then I knew when I went to school in Fiji, actually, that I would want to focus on sustainable agriculture. I love farming and I love food, but I also love dancing and the arts. And so I was like, well, I don't want to just do food and farming. I want to combine everything I love. And so essentially it was just, figuring out how to live out my passions without having to do something just on the side. So it's trying to combine it all into one fun, big organization.
Well, I mean, it seems like so much of the young farmer experience is organizing a business or an organization around your passions and then trying to keep it afloat.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost selfish, but to be like, I sometimes feel like just now today what we're having for lunch, everything is from the garden and so amazing and delicious. And, if we went out to a restaurant, it would be like $85 at least.
Wow, yeah.
To eat the way we're eating. And then, but you realize that it takes a lot of courage to be able to want to invest the time to make that happen. So
yeah, I definitely agree with you that sometimes it feels selfish because I just love what I do so much. But then in that regard, I wish everybody was more selfish because then maybe we'd all be living the lives we want to live. And not stuck in cubicles. And there are the constraints of, making money and making your ends meet. And so you do have to be very creative in how you and look at even nonprofits as a business and say, okay, even though this is something that is very fun and is something that I think would help educate the community, you know, is the investment of my time going to yield somehow? You kind of have to balance how much you do solely for the fun of it and then do some things for the revenue, of course. But that's the nice thing about farming and farming nonprofits. It's one of the few social service agency types that actually do generate income because you have a product to sell at the end of the day.
Thank goodness. Everybody needs to eat. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the, well, I just had on the last episode a really great guy who's in some ways similar to you guys running a nonprofit in Washington State called Growing Washington.
Uh-huh.
And he, they've just had trouble because their compost got contaminated with pesticides.
Oh.
And they have been really outspoken about, you know, just that this contamination is totally unacceptable, and it's putting them as farmers at risk and is making their tomatoes and peppers get all curly and stunted.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, a risk to the consumer as well. I wanted to talk about, you know, what's the kind of on-the-ground trouble where you are in the kind of amazing local food scene that's kind of bubbling up in St. Louis, which is really in the same place as the kind of like the headquarters of agribusiness. Do you feel a little bit of a conflict there?
I wouldn't say I feel a conflict. There, you know, politically speaking and economically speaking is a conflict. But it doesn't come up in my day-to-day, you know, operations of Earth Dance. But one of the interesting things, I think, is the more people that hear about this, you know, given that we are based right at the world headquarters of Monsanto, there's a lot of, you know, Monsanto employs a lot of St. Louisans. And so, sure enough, the other day, a group of people was taking a farm tour, and the mom, and I started talking about what is organic and why do we want to eat organically and grow organically, and one of the chaperones of the tour said, well, just so you know, chemicals put my kids through college, but go on, I know you're going to say it anyway, so go on. So clearly, you know, she or her husband worked for Monsanto is what she was meaning, and I guess I don't ever feel like we'll be able to beat them or compete with them on a monetary level, but I'd like to make it such a social stigma to work for a company that does so much evil in the world that people don't even want to work there anymore. So we'll see if we can try to sway public opinion in that way.
That's a good strategy. We'll just get the, all the smart people to come work on farms instead.
Right. It's too bad, though, that a lot of them are worried about good salaries. That's the part we'll have to work on.
So there you are in St. Louis, and you just started in 2008 growing season.
Mm-hmm.
What are the directions that you think you might want to head, you know, say 2 or 3 years out? You're starting with veg, small-scale veg, which is really normal, and you're aching for an orchard, which is seems like pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any animal dreams in your head?
Well, I would really like to raise chickens, and actually, because I don't live on the farm, I'm thinking it'd be most practical for me personally to start them in my yard first. And then I went and looked up our city's livestock ordinance and found out that my yard is too small to have chickens. And meanwhile, my next-door neighbor has dogs that bark all day and night. So Earth Dance, and there's another farm apprentice who lives in Ferguson who would like to have chickens as well. So we thought rather than try to just get a variance on the ordinance for ourselves and pay $50 and wait for a month in timing, we may as well just try to actually get the ordinance changed. So just last night we went to the city council meeting and just asked for 10 minutes of their time at the next meeting to actually show them a video we've made about why and how easy it is to raise backyard chickens. So, yes, so chickens are definitely hopefully in the future. What else we want on the farm? Number one, of course, land security. We want to know that we're going to be there for 5+ years before we do a lot more. I'd also really like to start some sort of youth education program. Right now we have a lot of more informal programming. We have a lot of young people that come out to the farm to volunteer or to take a tour, but I'd love to host some kind of summer camp on the farm. That's actually what I went to school for, is environmental education. And eventually, I'd really like to construct little eco huts on the farm so that we can host an artist in residence and a musician in residence to bring out the arts and music in the farmscape more.
Wow. That's so wonderful. I just
well, that's a big dream.
An arts in residency on a farm in Italy called, it was called Paulinaria.
And oh.
It was exactly that. My friend Amy Franceschini, who's an artist out of San Francisco, her art name is, it's called Future Farmers, and she was the artist in residence, and I was her helper, and she built a Trojan horse and pushed it around the countryside and talked with farmers about the future of agriculture. And
wow.
Oh, wonderful.
That's so cool. So while I'm thinking about the animals on the farm, too, so the man that used to farm, that was a third generation to farm this land, he had mules running his plow up through the 1980s, when, of course, it was unheard of to even have goats in your yard, much less mules. It's the 14-acre farm is literally surrounded by development and small brick bungalow houses. So there was one time when I've heard a story about when the mule even got loose and was running down was running down the neighborhood, which I'm sure was a sight to see. But if somehow we could actually start using live animal power back on the farm, that would really be a dream for me, because if you're talking about true sustainability, we want to get off of fossil fuels and use that wonderful fertility in their poop, too.
Well, they're so good at making it. Well, Molly, I'm really excited about your work and your vision and your courage, and I'm sure that there are many other people who are. Tell our listeners, if you would, some of the ways that if they happen to be from Missouri and they are thinking about going back when they're home for holidays or whatever and visiting some of the projects around town or in the country close to St. Louis, what else they should tune into and what they should know about that's going on.
Sure. So like I said, the farmers markets are a wonderful, thriving place to be in St. Louis these days. We almost have too many farmers markets, I would say, because we don't have enough farmers to sell at all of them, which is why Earth Ants exists, to train more farmers. Go on the Ag Missouri website and find out where all the farmers markets are near you, and check out our website, earthdancefarms.org. We're also on Facebook, of course, and find out what events we have coming up. We do have film screenings every once in a while about different local food issues. We just did show the movie Homegrown. I'm trying to think if there's one single, there's not just one single website. You could also check out slowfoodstl.org. That's a great site with the local slow food chapter and all their happenings.
But there's more, you're saying there's not enough farmers, so folks who are from there who want to move back, or folks who are thinking about setting up shop right at the threshold of Monsanto, maybe that there is still market share to be filled?
Oh, definitely. We have a lot of crops we could be growing in Missouri that there's a lot of demand for, that we simply don't have enough producers. And we're not growing quite yet on the scale that we need to if we're going to really make a bigger dent in the demand, in the consumer demand for local and organic produce. So we're still, unfortunately, trucking in tons and tons of, even organic produce from California to fill the Whole Foods shelves and Trader Joe's shelves and even the mainstream grocery store shelves. So they'd love to purchase that locally if we had it here. So we just need more growers.
All right. So we're gonna get together again off the radio and talk about how we're gonna get the farm bill next goes through to reflect some of this need that we have to get more growers going, larger operations started, and expand our capacity to feed our nation healthy local food.
I love it. Sounds
all right,
good.
Good plan.
And I love,
thank you so much,
can I just
Molly,
say this? I love your website name, Serve Your Country Food. I think that's so genius.
Yeah, everybody who's not already on there, get on. It's serveyourcountryfood.net, and that is a map of young farmers across the country. I think Molly's on there.
We are.
And this is, once again, Greenhorns Radio. I am your host, Severin. We are sponsored by Hearst Family Ranch. Happily, upcoming events in Pennsylvania, New York. They've got one coming up in Maine. Please get on the blog so you know what's going on and join us in person. Thanks for being there on the podcast. We appreciate you very much. Bye-bye.
Times are hard, and you know we could.
Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of six provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the six features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.